The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
We have what is very commonly known as the mitzvah of tefillah, the mitzvah of prayer. And prayer takes a special significance during the Yomim HaNoraim, during Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, when much of the day is devoted to tefillah, more than any time during the year. We can ask in particular, why do we find on these days so much significance in time is allocated to prayer? Secondly, in general, we can ask on tefillah, why do we need it? We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us what we lack, to fill our needs. Panoso, the Gemara says that what we ask for can be categorized in three general terms. Chaye, for our lives, which means life with health. Bonai, children, and panosa, all of our physical needs. We also ask for chokhmah, wisdom. Now, why is it necessary? These should be dependent on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees for us. So if He decrees it for us, we are Zeche, we are worthy of it, then He should give it to us without the tefillah. And if we are not worthy of it, so are we trying to change His mind? Are we trying to influence His action with the tefillah? Another question we can ask. Yes, the sages, the Chazal say, Tefillah imedes berumei shalelam. Tefillah stands, this whole concept, berumei shalelam, it's from the greatest levels in the world. Why? One would think it's not such a great level. Anyone can go and be mispallel and to pray. Another question. Now sages tell us HaKadosh Baruch Hu misave litfilosin shel tzadikov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits anxiously and desires the prayers of His righteous. Why does He need their prayers? It would be to the contrary. We would say the people need the prayer. They need the prayer to get what they're asking for. But what does Hashem need their prayers for? That He waits for them? He desires it. Let's see this evening if we can shed some light on this very difficult subject. Excuse me. Near the beginning of Masechta Avos, Perek Aleph Mishnah Beis, it states, Shimon HaTzadik Koyim Yishoyorei Kineses HaGdola. Shimon HaTzadik was from those that were left over from the great assembly. Hu haya Eimer, he would say, Al Shleish Dvarim Ha'Elam Eimed, that the world stands on three pillars: Al Atera, the Al Aveda, the Al Gimel Chasodim. Torah is the study of Torah. Avoda, the sages say, refer to the Avoda Beis HaMikdash, to the service which was in the Beis HaMikdash, in our temple, the acts of kindliness. The Maral explains very concisely that the world basically has one pillar, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty holds up the world. But on the other hand, we join the world to Him. We have to somehow connect the world to Him. We join it through three pillars. And the reason for three is because the man was created, he has three basic parts to him. There is physical man, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu endued him with life and everything that's involved in that life, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu imbued him with intelligence, with a seichel. So this is the goof, the physical man, the nefesh, which he imbued him with, and the seichel, the intelligence. And we can bind ourselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with all three. Physically and materially, we can bind ourselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through Gemilas Chesed. Acts of kindliness, acts of kindliness given physically from ourselves or from our material possessions. Secondly, the nefesh of the person. How do we bind ourselves with the nefesh of the person? The sages tell us this is through the korbanos, through the sacrifices. And later on we'll see that inclusive in this also is the tefillah. Now, this we will explain shortly. And then thirdly, we bind ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our intelligence through HaSeichel. This is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Now, in all of these three facets, there was one of the oves, of the three oves, excelled in one particular derech, in one particular way. And not only did he excel, but he actually paid this way. This means that even though all of the three oves, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, served HaKadosh Baruch Hu with their guf, with their body, with their nefesh, with the life that was given to them, with their seichel, with their intelligence, but each one excelled in one particular facet. And not only did he excel, but he actually paved the way for the others to follow. Abraham was known as the great Baal Chesed. It says, Titei Nemes Liyakov Chesed Lavram. He was the one who gave of himself physically to the whole world, materially to the whole world. He was Mechadesh Gemilas Chasodim. He paved the way, showed how to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Gemilas Chesed. And he built the pillar, this pillar of serving Hashem in this physical manner. Yitzchak Avinu was the one who served HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Avodas HaKorbanos, the sacrifice. Because we know of the Akedah Yitzchok. Yitzchok was prepared to give himself entirely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Har Moriah. And this became the yesod, the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash. This took place on Har Moriah, which is Yerushalayim, the exact place of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Medrash states that on that day that Yitzchok was prepared to give himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed that one day there will be the mitzvahs of the Korbanos in this place by Yisrael. And Yitzchok would say, I did more than the others. Karachti es nafshoi. I gave my nefesh. I didn't give merely my acts. I didn't give merely my material goods. I gave my actual self to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Karachti es nafshoi. I was prepared to. Except the angel stopped Avraham. This is how one serves in the Beis HaMikdash. So this is the pillar that was known as Avoda. Gemilas Chesed, Torah, the third pillar. This is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with one's intellect, with one's mentality that he was given, with the intelligence, the rationale that the human being was imbued with. This Yaakov excelled in and paved the way. As it states, Titein Emes LeYaakov, Em Zu Torah. On Yaakov it states he was Yosheva Olim. He dwelled in the tents of Torah. Through this, a person in Yisrael has the opportunity to bind themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with every part of themselves. And in this way, they give the world three pillars in order to join itself to Hashem. Now this evening, as mentioned, we're concerned here which what is known as the Avodas HaTfila. The Gemara says something very interesting. The Gemara says that firstly, when it comes to the serving in the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara always refers to this in particular as Avoda, with the word Avoda. Avoda means Eved. Eved is a servant. A servant that serves his master, his Lord. In many ways, there are many halachos, many laws that the Gemara bases on the fact that when the sacrifices were brought in the Beis HaMikdash, it had to be in a way of an Avdei Kamei Marja, of a servant standing before his master. Why is this? What do sacrifices have to do with a servant? The answer to this is there is what is known as a tribute, Shai LeMelech. To a king, you bring a gift. Sometimes gifts are given because a person's in need. A king is not in need. Sometimes gifts are given because you want to show an eis avo, you want to show a friendship. That's not for a servant, that's not for someone to a king. Shai LeMelech, a tribute, is brought to a king to show as a declaration that you are his subject. And therefore you bring a dorem, you bring a tribute to him, to show that he is the meishel, he is the ruler. You are the subject, and therefore you bring an offering to him. Actually, all of the nations of the world felt this very strongly. They wanted to serve the powers of the world, except they became deterred. Instead of serving the real power, they started to serve those that were under the powers of the world. They served angels. They started to serve the sun, the moon. So it was also called Avoda. They realized there are powers greater than they, and they must give up tribute to it. They must show this. And it was also called Avoda, but Avoda Zora. It was an alien service. Service to alien. We are not allowed to serve even those who serve the Almighty. We are not even allowed to serve, Rambam writes, a malach, an angel. We serve only the King. Today this concept is foreign to us because there are no kings in the world. But this is a basic concept. It's a concept in the world and in human nature. And a servant, he wants to give of himself to his master, to the King, especially to the King of all kings. But he can't give of himself, so he brings something from himself. So he brings an animal, and he sacrifices the animal. And the animal goes up to Hashem. And this is his way of showing that he belongs to the Master. This is why the first requirement in a sacrifice, Odom ki yakriv, when a person sacrifices, Odom, it has to belong to him. It cannot belong to someone else. Otherwise, what kind of declaration is that? And this is why it is referred to as Avoda. And especially the Torah writes on a Korban Oni, the sacrifice of a poor man, Nefesh ki yakriv, ki lo hikriv es nafshoi. It's as if he's giving himself. His very self. And this is the actual explanation of the word Korban. The word Korban comes from the word Korev, to come close. The person wanted to go up to Hashem, to come close to Hashem. He did this through his sacrifice. Now, this is in regards to the Avodas HaKorbanos, Avodas Beis HaMikdash, serving of the Beis HaMikdash. But the Gemara tells us a further chidush. The Gemara tells us something very, very novel and unique. The Gemara in the beginning of Masech Tainus, Dav Beis Seif Amar Aleph, the Gemara darshins in the second parish of Krishma, where it states, La'avas Hashem Arakeichem U'la'ovde B'chol Avavachem, that you should serve the Lord your God, you shall love the Lord your God, and you shall serve him with all of your heart. Then again it states the word Eved. You shall serve him like a servant with all of your heart. You shall become a subject of his with all of your heart. The Gemara asks on that. Eze avoda shebelev. Where do we find such a servant? Heviyem ezu tefila. Our answers, this refers, and from here we learn the mitzvah of tefila. Tefila also is the action of a servant who is serving his master. But how is he serving his master? Avedei shebelev, by giving his heart. Now, there's no difference
The word avoda refers to both. But in one case, he was trying to give himself through the sacrifice, giving something of his to the Almighty to show a tribute to him. In the other case, he gives his heart to the Almighty. In both cases, this is inclusive of the Nefesh HaOdom, where he serves the Almighty through the life which was imbued in him. This is why we find Tefillah is Liba Tzorech, that when you pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it must be with the heart. David HaMelech, who wrote endlessly on prayer, he would use such terms as Mimamakim Krosicho Hashem. From the very depths of my heart have I called out to Hashem. Or he would say, Es Nafshi Sichosi, I speak to you with my nefesh, with my life. This is why we find the Gemara brings Tfilais al pi korbonos tiknu, that the prayers are all enacted in accordance to the way the sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash were enacted. And on this is stated Nishalmo Porim Sfosenu, Sifsosenu, that when I pray to Hashem, these are the bullocks, these are the sacrifices from my lips. So, what we have done now is explained that just like one must serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his study of Torah, and he must serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his acts, his physical acts of Gemilas Chesed, he must also serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through with his very heart and emotions. He must give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is evid. And this was done through the sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash and through the tefillahs, through all of the prayers that we have now. Now we've answered, we can answer our first question. Why do we find that on these days, Yomim Leroyim, so much of the time is allocated to tefillah? Because tefillah is the way an eved serves the king. It's not the way of study of Torah. Study of Torah is not the way a servant serves the king, or necessarily Gemilas Chasodim. And on these days, the Gemara tells us, are the days of Malchus, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals and renews his kingship to the world. He comes to the world, judges it. He judges it as a melech, as a king is supposed to judge his world. And we all appear before Hashem as avodim lamelech, as servants to the king. Therefore, our approach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is derech hatfilah, through this phenomena of prayer. Now, when we speak of prayer, there's actually three parts to it. There's what is known as shvoches, tishboches. This is praise. You come to a king, you must praise him. There is what is known as tachnunim. Tachnunim is where we appeal and beseech the king to give us what we lack. And then there what is known as hodah. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what he has given to us. If we look in Parshas Va'eschanan, the beginning of Parshas Va'eschanan, Moshe came to appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should allow him to go into Eretz Yisrael. So what did he tell him? First he started to say Mikel Bashamayim Voritz, who is a God like you in heaven and earth that can do what you can do, such deeds and such strength? Then he said, Ebrano v'eres ha'oretz ha'tova, allow me to go and cross the river into Eretz Yisrael. A Chazal say this is how we learn how to approach the king. When you come to a king to ask something, you don't start with the asking. First you must praise the king, then you ask. This is why in our tefillos we have what is known as gvuras, that we start by saying Hakel Hagodol, Hameiro, we praise the Almighty. Only later do we come to the Tachnunim, to beseeching. And then we have to ask for our needs, we have to beseech and appeal for our needs, but at the same time we have to give Haidor, we have to give praise to him, to thank him for what he has given to us. The Rambam writes, he says, La'elam, a person should give Haidor ala Ovar kifi keichai. You must thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu on what he has given to us in the past, in accordance with as much strength that he has, with all of his strength. The fact that we are here today and we are living, we must thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that and everything it includes. Umevakish ala osi, but at the same time we have to appeal to him that he should continue to give us good things. Hodah is gomel. Person benches gomel on a miracle that takes place. Hodah was Leah when Yehuda was born, and this was the fourth son. And she said, now I have more than ever to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because there were four wives to Yaakov and 12 sons to be born. So each portion should have only been three sons. And now I have taken Natalti Yeshem Michelki, more than my portion, Apam Eides Hashem. Now I will praise Hashem. And because of that, Koresh my Yehuda. Nikra, she called him Yehuda. We have enshrined in our name Yehuda, which means Hodul Hashem. Praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu on what he has given to us, even more than he should have. So these are the three integral parts of the tefillah. And we're referring to all three, because this is the way a servant comes to his master. Now, if we go one step further, you will see something else. It comes out that the very essence of tefillah then is the coming of the servant to the master, of the servant elevating himself to the master, of the servant binding himself to the master with praise, with appeal, with thanks, of a servant leaning and relying on the master that he will give him what he is lacking, of a servant elevating himself to what he feels is his actual source of life. Just like he is totally subjugated to this great king, therefore he must come on to him for his very life. Accordingly to what we said, this is the essence of tefillah, the essence of prayer. With this, the Maral explains the Gemara. The Gemara brings him a Masechta Brachos. And of Chokhes on the days when Ablezer took sick. Kishachola Ablezer, Nichnasu Talmidim Levakrei. His disciples came in to visit him.
when they saw he was very sick, Omru Loi Rabbeinu, they said, Arebi, Lamdeinu Orchis Chaim, teach us the way of life. V'niska behem l'chaye l'mabo. So we can be Zeicha. We will be worthy of the world to come. So he said, I'll tell you three things. Omar lehem, he said to him, he said to them three things. I'm only going to mention one of those things, which is relevant to what we are speaking about. Ukeshatem mispalalim. When you are mispalal, when you daven, when you pray, du'u lifnei mi atem omnim. You must constantly know who are you standing before. Ubishvil kach tisku lechayel amaba. And if you will keep this and the other two things he mentioned, then you will be zeicher to the world to come. Now, he said that when you, he didn't tell them to pray, he didn't tell them to daven. He said, kishatem mishpalalim, when you are praying, du'u, always be aware, lifnei mi atem omdim, who you are standing before. And this will bring you to the next world. A similar Gemara is in Masechet Sanhedrin. Chav Beis Omer Aleph, Omer Reb Shimon Chasido, HaMispalel Tzorich Sheyiroi Atzmai Ki Leshchinoi Kenegdoi. Shneamar Chisivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tomid. Reb Shimon Chasido said, the one who davens, who's praying, he must always look at himself as if the Shechina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is right opposite of him. As David HaMelech said, Shivisi Hashem lenegdi tomid, I will make Hashem where he is, right opposite of me. Now, what is the great significance of this? The Maral asks a very strong question. We don't find this by other mitzvahs. There is nowhere where the Torah tells us that when you fulfill a mitzvah, we can have a mitzvah of not long, Yetz Hashem, of lulav, esrog. Does it state when you take the lulav of esrog, and esrog, you shall know who you are standing before? We have a mitzvah of matzah. Does it say that when you eat the matzah, du'u mi atem endim lefonov, you shall know who you are standing before? We have the mitzvah of talis, of tefillin, know who you're standing before. We have the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, of study of Torah, which is a mitzvah, shokol keneged kol mitzvahs, is equal to all of the mitzvahs. Yet we do not find there that when you learn, you shall know who you are standing before. Place the Shechinah opposite of you, across of you all of the time. We do not find this by any mitzvahs, except tefillah. What is the explanation? The explanation is all mitzvahs we must treat as mitzvahs. What does a mitzvah mean? A tzivui. The king commands us to do something. The king calls in a servant and says, do this for me. Take this over there. Go speak to that person. He has to realize and be aware this is a mitzvah samelach. It's a mitzvah from a king. It's a command. But he doesn't have to do it in the presence of the king. He doesn't have to perform and fulfill the mitzvah with the vision that the king is opposite of him. The fact is, mitzvahs can take him all over. When he studies Torah, this is the mitzvah to delve into the depths, see, of Hashem's Torah. But he doesn't have to yeroi atzmai as if he is standing in front of the king. The exception to this is tefillah.
Because as we explained, this is the very essence of tefillah. Tefillah is where the servant comes to the king to praise the king and to beseech from the king and to thank the king for his very life, his very essence, all of his needs. The whole essence of the tefillah is the bonding of the servant to his master, so he will receive his sustenance from his master. So what happens if someone goes and he's mispalal, he davens, and he has no awareness of who he's standing before? His bottle at tefillah, the essence of tefillah, is not there. And actually, many hold in aloha, he wouldn't be yaitz that tefillah at all, he wouldn't fulfill the mitzvah in such case. It's because of this reason that we find many, many halachos when it comes to tefillah. And for example, how one should stand, how one should talk, how one should be dressed. And none of these halachos, none of these laws are brought in regards to any other mitzvahs. And the Gemara says, why? Because it's tefillah ad dekamei marya. Tefillah is like a servant standing before a king. So he has to dress like one would go to the king. He has to stand like one would stand before a king. He has to speak like one would speak before a king. But lulav or esrog or study of Torah, that's not abdo kamei marya. That's not one going to the king. Therefore, you do not have to dress like you would go, like you're standing in the presence of the king. There's many such halachos. Now, we can understand what the Rav Lezer told the Talmidim. You want madreges elam abo. Then kshatem mispalalim. When you're davening, if you do not daven in a way that you're standing before the king, it's not davening, but you didn't have kavono. Now, see, that's davening without kavono means that you know that you're standing before the king, except you might not be realizing what you're saying. But that's a tefillah, except you didn't realize what you're saying. It's not a very, it's not tefillah in its, far from its perfection, but it's a tefillah. But if you're davening and you do not know who you're standing before, it's botla tefillah. What is the tefillah? If the whole essence of the tefillah is where the servant comes to bind himself before the mighty master, therefore, do all you shall know. Kishatem mispalim du miatem lifnei miatem. Only you must constantly be aware of who you're standing before. Not by other mitzvahs. Then you have to constantly be aware that you're fulfilling the command of the king. But you're not in the chambers of the king. Here you have to be aware that you are in the chambers of the king. You're before his throne. Then you will be zeicher, then you will have elam habo, because that itself is madreges elam habo. If you're in the room of the throne, you're in elam habo, you have left this world. When we fulfill mitzvahs in this world. Because Baruch Hu told us what to do on this world. But a tefillah b'shleimus, but a prayer at the level that it's supposed to be, that's not in this world. Because you're standing before the king. Now, how can you stand before the king in this world? So you have elevated yourself to walk into the throne room. The umiyat lifnei miyat hem omnim. That's the next world. You have left this world. And this is now, we can answer another question that we asked. That our sages told us, tefillah ending berumei shalom. The level of tefillah is at the greatest heights of the world. If we go a little further, we see that actually the madreges hatfil, the level of tefillah, is actually the essence of bitochen. The essence of bitochen ve'amuna, trust and faith. Because we come and we ask. Why do we ask? What are we asking from Hashem? Why should we ask from Hashem? We have a tzorah. We have a problem. We have a need. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Heaven forbid there's sickness. There's poverty. There's sorrows. We ask from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But why? What for? There can only be tefillah where there's bitochen. Not only there can only be tefillah where there's bitochen, but it's hainu hach, it's one. The tefillah, the prayer, is the expression of the trust. This is why an atheist doesn't daven. Why should I daven? This is why the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, the idolaters, didn't pray to Hashem. They prayed to others that they had trust in. So the tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also in essence, it's the expression of a total trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, when one comes to the Madreges HaTefillah, he comes to the level of Bitochen. And when one is at the level of Bitochen, this is another reason why he is lifting himself actually out of this world. Because the physical world is confined, it has parameters. Nature has its systems. You cannot break nature. That's why doctors will say, there's no way to cure this patient. And they're right. According to natural order of things, there's no way to cure this patient. Yet we see, ma'asim b'chol yom, all of the time, patients that were decreed on them that they would not be cured, become cured. Doctor will say, I don't understand it. Miracles happen. That didn't happen from this world. That happened from a greater world. People will tell you, the scientists will tell you that there's going to be a drought. There's no way there'll be enough rain. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, they said there'll be no rain. Baal Dam was 10 or 11% full. They said it'll take years of rain to fill it up. Years. In a matter of a month, it was over 100% full. Couldn't believe it. They were right. It depends if we look at it from the perspective of this world or the perspective of another world. This world has its natural systems. You can't walk up to the heavens. Therefore, it has its confines and its parameters. This is what David HaMelech always said, Min HaMeitzar Karosi. I have called to you from the Meitzar. Meitzar means from the confines. I am in this world. And I'm cornered in this world. And there is no way that I can become free in this world. Except through HaKadosh Baruch Hu that works through the higher worlds. V'harbach b'marviachas. Mikol Tzoraseinu. Release all of our confines. So when a person prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, It's after he's spoken to the doctor. See? The doctor tells him there's no way. All right, now he has another alternative. There's no way in this world. There could be another way through another world. So he goes to the king. So this is the essence of total bitochen. And this also brings a person to the level of the next world. Because there he's dealing with a different system. And that's why it states, Bitchu b'Hashem adi ad. Believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu all of the time. Trust in Him. Ki b'ko Hashem tzur elamim. Because He created both worlds with His name. What does that have to do with it? He didn't only create this world. Had He created this world only, so then we'd have a problem. Because in this world there's no solution to such a problem. But He created both worlds. He operates from a higher system that can negate this system. Therefore, Bitchu b'Hashem adi ad. Trust in Him forever. For Him it's no problem. And it comes up also that the tefillah is the declaration and expression of total belief in Hashem, just like the Avedis Beis HaMikdash. Serving in the Beis HaMikdash was the antithesis to the Avedis Zora. The Gemara brings the Mishnah Masechta Sukkah that we served in the Beis HaMikdash towards the west. When you came into the Beis HaMikdash, you came in from the east and you walked westward, and the more westward you went, the holier it became. That's how we served. The Eidei Aveda Zora, the idolaters, they served to the east. Why did they serve to the east? Because they served the physical world. And the strongest power in the physical world was the sun. That's why the idolaters, ancient idolaters, the first idolaters were known as the sun worshippers. Everything else came from them. And the strength of the sun is when? It's in the east. In the east it rises and it becomes stronger and stronger. And they dare not serve in the west, because in the west is the waning of the sun. The west was a question on them. What happened to your king? He got lost. They serve to the east. We serve to the west because the sun rises. It's the strongest power in this world, but it's merely a shliach, an emissary of Hashem. And when he sets, he's returning to Hashem. And the Gemara says that when he sets, it's ki'abe kamemaria, it's like a servant bowing to his master. So where is the master? The master is in the west. This is where we serve. The avod of the Beis HaMikdash was the antithesis to Avedah Zorah. Just like the tefillah is the antithesis to atheism. To the atheisms or to the evolutionists or wherever they might be. So therefore, this also explains to us what Rav Lezer said, that through this you will be zeicher to the level of Eilam Habo. A second point that we see from here is the great, great schus. This is something that unfortunately we lose. And that's the great schus, the opportunity that was given to Israel to be mispallel to Hashem. Tell me, when does one get an appointment with a king? When does one get an appointment with the prime minister, or the president, the vice president, even a senator, a congressman, a member of parliament? So easy to get an appointment. You got to wait. You got to go through the right channels. Many times you won't get past the front desk, you won't get past the secretary. So it's very rare indeed. Here we're saying that when we are mispal to Hashem, du'um lifnei mi atem omdim, you're standing right before Him, you're standing in His presence, in the presence of the throne. Who gave us the right to come in? In the Megillus Esther, Mordechai told Esther, who was the queen, she was the queen, and she was the queen of the whole world. He said, go to the king immediately and tell him about the decree from Haman. She said, no, call Abdi Amelech, the Amidinei Samelech Yodin. All the servants of the king and all of the nations of the king know very well. Asher kol ish fi ish asher yovei al ha-melech el ha-chotzer ha-pnimims, that any man or woman that will come to the courtyard, to the inner courtyard of the king, asher lei korei, and he was not summoned to come, achas dosei, there's just one law that pertains to him, lo honish, that of death he will pay with his life. Mani lei nikresi lovei Shleishim Yom, and I have not been summoned to him for the past 30 days. Even Esther, his own queen, said that I cannot go. Yet here we have opportunity not only once a year, not only twice a year, every day. Whenever we want, we have opportunity to go right to the king. Right to the king. Don't have to make any appointments. Don't have to go through any protocol, any secretary, any assistants, any deputies. We go right to the king. And he listens. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael in Parshas Vayeshanan. Dalet Zayin. Mi goy gobu, who is a nation like you? Asher lei elokim, elokim hu krevim elov, that you have a God which is so close to you, Hashem elokeinu. Bechol koreinu elov, whenever you want, you go call him. Here he's not a king, he's the melech hamalochim, he's the king of all kings. And you have an open door policy with him. That whenever you want, you walk into his office, into his throne. Mi goy gadol, Moshe says, do you know, did you ever hear of such a thing? So this is the great zchus of tefillah that a person has. In one of the slichus, mentioned this a number of times, in one of the slichus that we say, it states, Machnisei Rachamim. Machnisei Rachamim, the angels of mercy, should carry our prayers to the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There were many that criticized that slicha and removed it from the books. They said, what do you mean we are asking the angels to carry our prayers to the throne of the Almighty? That's what you have to do by other kings. You have to ask his secretaries and so forth. We don't ask the angels to carry our prayers. We go right to the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we ask ourselves, no matter call ish vi isha bekotten, no matter who the person is, we have open access. So this is the, it's madreges elam abo, the level of the next world. Now we come to another step. In accordance to what we're saying, it comes out that the purpose of the tefillah is not kaviyochel, as if to say, to work on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, you need something from an individual, from a human being, you go work on him. Let me talk to him. I'll get so-and-so to talk to him. Let me talk a second time to him, a third time. Let me work on him. I'll convince him. I'll try to influence him. I'll try to wear him down. And finally, I'll get what I need. It comes out, that's not the purpose of tefillah, kaviyochel, to try to convince HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us something that we think we should have, or to try to wear him down, to fulfill our needs, and to annul the evil decrees, and to eliminate and resolve our tzoros. No. But the tefillah itself is the purpose. That's the purpose of the tefillah. The tefillah itself. This action of tefillah that we just elaborated on, that elevates the servant to his master and bonds him to his master, and where he gives his total trust to his master and he gives himself and his heart to his master, that's not a means to an end, but that can be an end in itself. An example, the Gemara says, "Anesin matona lechaveire, tzorech lehidia." If you give a gift to a friend, you must tell him who the gift is from. Now, speaking, you give a gift because you want to show friendship. So then you must tell him who it's from. Otherwise, you have destroyed the purpose of the gift. Because when you give a friend a gift, you bring him something. It's not necessarily because he needs it, but rather you want to show love and friendship. So if he doesn't know who it's from, then you've just eliminated, you have destroyed the whole purpose of the gift. The same thing here. The purpose of the tefillah is not the end result that we might think, is to get the returns. Just like someone gives a gift, he's not giving it to get the returns. Rather, the gift is a sign of the friendship that he wants to give. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the tefillah to bring us to him, to bond us to him. And this is the end in itself. Now, to go a little further, we can say even more. Generally speaking, a person becomes enwebbed in a problem, enwebbed in sorrows. So he is mispalel to Hashem to relieve us of the tzoros. So the way we view it, as the tefillah is a means to an end, to an objective of relieving us from the tzoros. It could be to the contrary. It could be that the tzoros is the means to the end. We were given tzoros in order that we should come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with tefillah. And not that the tefillah is a means to an end. It itself is an end. The tzorah is the means to the tefillah, which is the end result. I'll give you another example. Father has a son. Father is very wealthy. The son needs money. So it's no problem. The father can give the son whatever he needs and bail him out of his problems. But he says, I'm not going to just send it to him. I want him to come and ask me for it. Because if I just send it to him, then he doesn't need me. He needs the money. He won't appreciate me. And I won't see him. Let him suffer a bit. When the noose becomes tight enough, he'll come. He'll come, I'll give it to him. Or let's say you have, this is very common, you have a baba. She's in an old age home. She wants to see her grandchildren. They never come. She's got money to give them. She wants to give it to them. So first she thinks, here, I'll give it to the mother, go give it to the children, give it to the Eimeklich. Then she says, now on second thought, better yet, tell the Eimeklich I have money for them. Then at least they'll come and I'll see them. Otherwise, if I give it to you to give to the Eimeklich, I'll never see them. So tell them I got money for them. And then I'm sure one day they'll need the money, they'll come and see me. So it's not like we think that we have a tzora, and the tefillah, the purpose of the tefillah is to get rid of the tzora. But it could be just the opposite. The objective is the tefillah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the tzora in order that he should see us, otherwise he'll never see us, he'll never hear from us. Now what I'm saying is not speculative. This is what our sages tell us in many places. This in many places. And the first place they tell us is the very first brocha that was given to man. It states in Bereishis Beis Pasuk Hei. It says, "Eino tol lo shemayim v'aretz bibaram." HaKadosh Baruch Hu had created the world. In the first 5 days, he created basically the whole world. Part of the sixth day, everything was created except man. But even though he had created everything, nothing was growing yet. There was no siach hasod yet. The grass had not grown, the trees had not grown, the fruits had not grown. He lay hinter, because even though it was all created, he didn't bring rains yet. He lay hinter Hashem Elohim Alorot. Now the question is, why didn't he bring the rains yet? Because man was not created yet. So Rashi states in the Chazal, and says as follows. Lama lehinter, umatam lehinter. Everything was there. As all you need was some rains. So why didn't he bring the rains? If he showed them ayin, labe is adoma, because there was no man yet. They ain't makir bituvos in shokshomi. And if he would bring the rains with no man, so then man would never recognize the need for the rains and the goodness that the rains bring. We only recognize the goodness the rains bring because if it's preceded with drought. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu preceded the creation of man with drought, in order that when man would be created, he would be created within a drought. And he would be created with tzora. He would see this beautiful world, and it's not alive, it's not living. There's drought. Tzoras. Through this he would be forced to be mispalo to Hashem. Once he realized that something is lacking here, so he ispalla aleihem. He was forced to be mispalal. Then, by yodu v'tzomcho, ilay lehen isvab shoyim. Then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the rains. So it's not like we think that this goes into the very essence of the creation of the world. It's not like that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world which works. For some reason, somehow, there's a quirk. See, loko ana'edus. There's a quirk. There's a drought. There's a flood. There's a tornado. Something goes out of kilter. In such case, we have to be mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to put everything back like it should be. Now, that wasn't the case here. The world to begin with was created with drought. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with drought so man should have a tzora which will force him to be mispalel to Hashem, to pray to Hashem, and then he will relieve tzora. But what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to do that for? Eliminate the tzora and you eliminate the need for tefillah. If the tefillah is just a secondary need, so eliminate the tzora, eliminate the need for tefillah and finish. The answer is that tefillah is not merely a means to an end. The tefillah was the end result. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted the tefillah. And if the only way he can get the tefillah is through tzora, so then he has to create a tzora in order to have the tefillah. In other words, what we are saying is that the world was not created that the heavens give forth bracha, and if for some reason this ceases, then tefillah is required. Now, the world, to the contrary, the world was created where the heavens were commanded to give forth bracha in answer to the prayers of Israel, in answer to the prayers of man. That was the creation. The world is commanded to give forth bracha in answer to prayers of man. If there's prayers of man, Kodesh Baruch Hu told the world, give them bracha. He will give them bracha. If there's no prayers of man, withhold the bracha. Not that the world was created automatically like all the atheists think. The world's created automatically to give forth all its bracha. If it doesn't, something has gone wrong. Now we've got to do something about it. This is one example. This is a classical example because this is from the very essence of the creation of the world. The Gemara in Tainus says, which is following in this vein, the Gemara that we quoted before says, Lama maskiri b'sharing sham b'tfilo. Why is it that in tefillah, that's where we ask for gshamim, we ask for rain? Maskirin mashi varuach ha'meir ha'goshem, v'sein talamotor. Why? So we say we learn it from Krishna. Because what does it say in Krishna? It says, la'avos Hashem alakeichem, u'lo'ode b'chol avavchem, u'bechol nafshichem, v'nosati mataratzichem mi'ito. You shall love Hashem with all of your heart. You shall love Hashem. You shall serve Him with all of your heart. Serving with all of your heart, that's the tefillah. You shall serve Him with all of your heart. And then, v'nosati mataratzichem mi'ito, I will give rain. So it says explicitly that with the tefillah comes the rains. This was the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Not that the rains come, and in case they don't come, then we need tefillah. But he commanded Israel on tefillah, and with the tefillah you will bring the rains. It's just contrary to the to all of our scientists that deal in this field. They got the farmer's almanac, and they got their cycles, and they got their whatever it might be. See? As to nature, has to provide rain. If for some reason there's no rain, there's some kink in nature. We have to try to do something about it. Not so. That's not what Hashem said. He says, you have to provide tefillah. When you provide tefillah, then the storehouses of the rain will be open. The Gemara immediately after that brings, if you want to know the power of tefillah, what its power is, immediately after that the Gemara says that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, his brachos, he gives to a shliach to give. Except Gimel, three things, Gimel Maftoches. There are three keys that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself holds. He never gives it to anyone else. And one is the key of Kshomim, of the rains. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu unlocks the brachos of rains. And here, he waited for the Odom to be created in order he could be Mispalo, in order that he could bring the rains. So we see that the tefillah is not the means to another end, but rather that end is the means to the tefillah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Another example, the Gemara brings, the Medrash in Parshas in Sefer Bereishis brings, Lomo Hoyu an Imos HaKadosh. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make our mothers, Sora, Rivka, Rachel, HaKadosh? They were barren. They all had such problems giving birth to children. Why? So it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kulanos, Kulanashires, they were all created extremely beautiful. They were all very, very wealthy. If they're going to have children also, so easily. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what do they need to come to me for? I want they should have to come to me. Mikan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu misave le tefilosim shel tzaddikim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the tefillah of the tzaddikim. What do we see here? That the tefillah came to annul the tzora, or the tzora came to create a need for the tefillah. Kodesh Baruch Hu brought the tzora to create a need for the tefillah. But why does he need the tefillah? The answer is because tefillah is the relationship between the Eved and the Rabbi. And if a Rabbi will just throw things at the Eved, the Eved never has to come to ask from the Rabbi, from his master. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. That relationship. Once is that relationship, now I can give him. But if the Emos, if they had everything, so they don't need him, there wouldn't be that relationship, and that is what he's Mishave for. This is what he waits. Gemara tells us further. It states in Parshas Bishalach, Yud Dalet Yud, that when Klal Yisrael were running away from Paray, says they came to the Yamshuf, to the Red Sea, Uparai Hikriv, and Parai was coming down upon them. By Yisuv and Yisrael as they named him, and they lifted up their eyes. We named Mitzrayim as they acharehem. Egypt was coming down upon them, and in front of them was the sea, and on both sides of them were desert. By Yirum we old, and they became very afraid. And they cried out to Hashem. The Midrash says on this, in Parsha Chof Aleph, Mahu Parai Hikriv. What does it say, Parai Hikriv? It should have said, Uparai Korav. Hikriv means he may come close.
Hikrives Yisrael the tshuva sho'osu. Yeser mikuf tsumais utfilais. Pare did more for Klal Yisrael in bringing Yisrael close to Hashem than 100 fast days. Because without the tzora, they didn't cry out to Hashem. Now when they saw Pare come down upon them and they were closed in from all sides, what does it state? Vayitzaku al Hashem. They cried out to Hashem at a level that they never cried before. Parek brought them closer, the Tzorek brought them closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to that level of Tefillah than anything else before. Now the Medrash brings it says Hayam Seger, they were all closed in. Why did this have to happen? Why did this have to happen? The Medrash asks. HaKadosh Baruch Hu already freed them. Yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already freed them. They left Egypt. So why did this have to happen? Why did he put them in a situation where they were pinned in from all sides? So the answer is, the Medrash says, "Lomas Hakadosh Baruch Hu lemkach, shohay Hakadosh Baruch Hu misave letfilosu." He did this because he wanted their tefilas. Now the Medrash asks, "Isn't this strange? Hakadosh Baruch Hu brings them to such shores. He took them out of Egypt. Could have taken them out and finished. Why did we need this? Because he wanted their tefilas. That seems awful strange." So the Medrash brings a pasuk from Shir HaShirim, and in the Shir HaShirim it states in Shir HaShirim Beis pasuk Yudalet, Shlaim HaMelech said, Yenosi Bechag VeHasela V'Seisra HaMadrego Harini Es Mar'aich Hashmini Es Kelech. The dove, it was a beautiful dove, and the dove was flying away, escaping a hawk, and it tried to get out of the clutches of the hawk by going into the clefts of the rocks. As it went into the clefts of the rocks, a serpent came out to bite it. So they had to fly back upwards. On top of it was the hawk. So it started to cry out to Hashem. And Hashem said, show me your beautiful colors. Let me listen to your voice. Now what does this represent? The Medrash gives an example. Omer Bishur ben Levi Lamad Avadema Lamelech Shor Yabob Ederech. There was a king, a young king, and he was traveling. Vayishabas Melochim Tzakas Lai. And all of a sudden he heard screams, cries for help. He ran over to see what was happening. And there was a beautiful princess. And she was saying, Bevakosho Mimecho Hatzileni Miyar Alistim. She said, save me. There's gangsters, bandits. They're coming to attack me. Shama Melech Yitzila. So the king ran to her service. He took care of the gangsters and he saved her. Lachi Yomim Bikosh Lisa Osoli Isha. As days went on, he couldn't get her out of his mind. So he decided one day that he would like to speak to her about marriage. He wanted very much that she should speak to him. So he sent over his courier to ask if they could arrange a meeting. She wasn't interested. She had a problem. She pondered over this problem for a long time. And he decided what he'll do.
He hired some people to act as bandits, and they would lay an ambush as a chariot was driving down the road, and they would attack the chariot. And then she would cry out, and he would be waiting on the side, and he would come and save her again. So this is what happened. So when she started to cry out again, and the king came running to save her, he said, he says, this is what I wanted. I wanted to hear your beautiful voice again. Kach Yisrael. The same with Israel. When they were meshubed, when they were enslaved in Egypt, it states, by Yitzhaku, they cried out to Hashem. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu freed them, no longer did they turn to Hashem. They went out of Egypt, they didn't need Hashem anymore. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was misaveh, he was misaveh for that association. He was misaveh for that relationship. So what did he do? So he put them in the situation where there would be a sea in front of them, desert and wild animals on both sides, and Pare coming down behind them. And now what did they do? Vayitzhaku al Hashem. They cried out to Hashem. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yenosi Behagay Asela Hashmini Kailech. I've been waiting for that voice of tefillah that you cried out to me before. So here we see, and the Gemara says even, well, the Gemara says even in Purim, what did the Tzor of Haman bring? The Tzor of Haman brought where the whole nation for 3 days fasted and was mishpanel to Hashem. And the Gemara says, the giving of the ring from Achashverosh to Haman brought Klal Yisrael closer than anything else we had. From here we see why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is misavel et filosin shel tzadikim. And also, this is the explanation. The pasuk states, "Terem yikru bami ane." Before you call out to me, I will answer. That means I have what you need. I have everything that you need. I'm waiting to give it to you. But I'm withholding it until you mispalel. Through tefillah, I want to give it to you. Terem yikru, even before you call me, I have it. Like the Bobby in the old Lechon, I have the money to give you. I'm waiting for you to come and get it. You don't come. With this, we answered the questions that we asked. What is the purpose of the tefillah? Are we trying to influence HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do something for us? If we're worthy, he'll give it to us. If we're not worthy, he won't give it to us. Why is it Berumei Shalaylam? Such high levels. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu wait for it? And why is so much time allocated for it on the Yom and the Roy? The answer is he's not withholding anything for us. He has plenty to give us. But he wants that level of tefillah, that association, that identification of the Evan the Rabbi that brings him right before his throne to his level, which is the level of the next world. And then he opens up his nakeris, his sources of brocha. Because of this, the Sforim write, and this incidentally is like why Reb Lezer said that when it comes to mitzvahs of Talmud Torah, you have to know it's a mitzvah. But you don't have to look as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing right before you. When it comes to tefillah, du'u lifnei mi atem omdim, you have to know at the time of the tefillah who you are standing and talking to. Because without that, then it's not tefillah. It's because of this, this Sforim write, that when there is a tefillah, a proper tefillah, it is impossible that it should be returned empty-handed. Impossible. Because how is it possible to go into the chambers of the king, and where the king is the source of all life and all light, and come away with nothing? Is it possible to go near a fire and come away without benefiting from its warmth? Just like that is not possible, so is it not possible to approach the King of all kings, the source of all brochas, and walk out without some brocha? Therefore, this Sforim write that by a tefillah, a proper tefillah by Israel, it's impossible that one should walk away empty-handed. Tefillah shishorim retzenai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants and he waits for the praise, for the thanks, for the bakoshes, the appeal of his yishorim, of those of the upright. Zevach rishayim te'evo. A wicked man comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a prayer or a sacrifice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want it. He's not interested in the sacrifice. He's interested in what it represents. He's not interested in the words. He's interested in what it represents. If it's a wicked man, that's a te'eva, that's abomination. But if he assured him of his upright, he awaits. I want to conclude with a statement from the Mesillas Yesharim, which actually we elaborated on in last Rosh Hashanah Shir, where he brings that whenever a person approaches in prayer, surely when he's praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and surely when he's thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but even when he appeals to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a broken heart, b'shivrei lev u'mimamakim, and from the depths of his heart, it must be also with simcha, though. It must be with a great rejoicing. Why? In accordance to what we're saying, it's very understandable. If one was allowed into the chambers of the king, to the king of all kings, that itself, and whenever he wants, that itself is what Moshe Rabbeinu told the people. Mi goy gadol, have you ever heard of a nation that Hashem Elokeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your God, is so close to you, b'chol koreinu elav, that you call to him any time? And he writes, Omru b'medrash, Omar Rabibu, kishti aymed lispalil, when you stand to be mispalil before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yelibcho someyach olecho, your heart must be full of rejoicing. She'ata mispalil elekim she'en kiyetze b'zabay, that you have the opportunity to stand before a God that there is no equal in the whole world to. Ki zeis hi hasimcho amitis she'libe shalodem oleis, this is the greatest simcha of a person, that he has the opportunity to stand before the King of all kings and bring his appeals to him. May our tefillahs and our praises and our adores be heard on this Rosh Hashanah and Aseret Yemei Tshuva and Yom Kippur, and may they be answered letova. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu remove from us all of the tzoros and bring us great brocha to all of Yisrael that's here in Eretz Yisrael ubechol mokum shehin.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.